Now, I mentioned Kurt Lewin quite a few times. He writes in Principles of Reeducation, Conduct, Knowledge, and Acceptance of New Values, "Reeducation must be clever enough in manipulating the subjects to have them think that they are running the show." He also said in Binet's book, "The reeducative process has to fulfill a task which is essentially equivalent to a change in culture." They call this a culture war. And the key is, for reeducation seem to be increased whenever a strong we feeling is created. And so that's the role of the facilitator, is to bring everybody to a sense of group identity. You have to find identity in the group if you're going to be changed, because there's where the compromise lies. Now let's look at some of the quotes from Bloom's taxonomies. There's the cognitive domain in the 50s, and then the affective domain came out in the 60s. But already the cognitive, which is knowledge, Bloom states in there, "We recognize the point of view that truth and knowledge is only relative." Karl Marx. Marx Engels quotes Marx, or paraphrase Marx, by saying the philosopher is all in a dialectical philosophy, nothing is established, nothing is absolute. Well, Bloom writes in his book, "Bloom's taxonomies are a psychological classification system used to develop attitudes and values which are not shaped by the parents. In fact, a large part of what we call good teaching is a teacher's ability to attain effective objectives." Now, what's effective? That's outside the box. You've been told this is, Adam was told this is right, that's wrong. Where's the effective domain? The tree of knowledge of good and evil. The desire to touch. The desire to do what you have been told not to do. It's not that God gave us this effective domain. He gave us dopamine, you know, so you can enjoy his creation. But when you worship it, see, when you make your feelings the foundation of right and wrong, you're making lust of flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life, your self-interest, the foundation for doing whatever you want to do, or building relationship with others. And that's the key of Marxism, is building relationship on self-interest. And that's where, on lust. And so the teacher's ability to attain effective objectives, in other words, lust, through challenging students' fixed beliefs. Well, who gave those children those fixed beliefs? And who gave educators the right to challenge those fixed beliefs? That's why when I confronted a relative in just a matter of 3 minutes, I hardly even got started. And the response is, "You make me feel wicked. You make me feel like I'm doing something wicked." And I didn't have a comeback, because I wasn't ready for that honesty. They're like, "Wow, you are doing something wicked. If you as a teacher are using Bloom's taxonomy in your classroom, you are doing something wicked. You're doing the very same process that Satan did on two children in a garden. The effective domain is, in retrospect," this is Bloom, "a virtual Pandora's box." What's that? Pandora's box is a mythological story. Now, this is in your face. Now, college students don't read Bloom's taxonomy. In fact, they encourage them not to read the book, because they're learning to apply it all in the classroom. Then when you go for your master's degree, then you read it, because you've already sold your soul. Your future is based upon participation. Well, Pandora's box is a box full of evils. It's a box full of evils. And once you open it, you can't close it. Once you remove parental authority, fear of God, from a person's mind, once you make lust, once you make pleasure, once you make, look at the kids on the iPhone, you just reach over and take that away and see what's going to happen. You talk about critical criticism. You talk about turning and randing whoever did it. That's the spirit in America today, with the next generation intoxicated, drunk on Pandora's box. And it's Bloom's taxonomy. You can't use Bloom's taxonomy. He's saying it here. To do this process, we have opened up Pandora's box. It is in this box. You notice my little earnestness on this? I've been doing this for over 20 years. And it's like all the people who are up there that can make a difference, they just go, "Ho-hum, it's just a passing fad." No, it gutted this nation. started in the 50s, and we've seen the effect of it in the classroom. Why you as a parent would put your and in fact, homeschooling material. The magazines will have centerfolds of the use of Bloom's taxonomies as a method for homeschooling your child. And they don't give Bloom credit. He writes, it is in this box that the most influential controls are to be found. Oh, tie into your child's feelings of resentment towards your authority. I guarantee as a teacher, I can turn your child again. I don't have to tell your child to attack your authority. They will come home and that is their drive and their purpose and their agenda in life is you can't tell me what's right and wrong. In fact, a large part of what we call quote-unquote good teaching is a teacher's ability to attain effective objectives through challenging the student's fixed beliefs and getting them to discuss issues. Whose issues? See, I ask your child, well, how do you feel? What do you think? Or give me your position. You see, your child cannot give your position to me as a teacher. They can present it, but if they go, I feel and I think, it's not your position as a parent. They're outside that box, those standards. You share the word of God. Jesus did not go, I feel and I think in the temptations. He said, Dad says, it is written, it is written. He shared the word of God. In the more traditional society, a philosophy of life, Bloom writes, a mode of conduct is spelled out for its members at an early stage in their lives. A major function in education in such a society is to achieve the internalization of this philosophy. You know, there's the right, wrong, yes, no, simple. It's a simple system. This is not to suggest that education in an open society. Notice, he said traditional. He didn't say transformational. He says open. Well, what's the opposite of open? Closed. And so they will always use different words so that you don't grasp. There's not a clear connection of where this is taking you. So this is not to suggest that education in an open society does not attempt to develop personal and social values. It does indeed. But more than in traditional society, it allows the individual a greater amount of freedom in which to achieve a Weltanschauung, a worldview. That's all Satan did. I'm just allowing the children to expand their horizon, discover their potential, just to think a little different. And then he cites with this Weltanschauung at the bottom, He references Erich Fromm, a Marxist, in Bloom's taxonomy. It's there. It's in print. You follow the footprint. You know, follow the trail. It's all the result of Marxists. Bloom's taxonomy is Marxism in the classroom. And Theodore Adorno. He writes, the affective domain contains the forces that determine the nature of an individual's life and ultimately the life of an entire people. So all you have to do is change the children in the classroom and you change the culture of the nation. And then Bloom in the first taxonomy, that was the second, but the affective, this cognitive, he says, obedience and compliance are hardly ideal goals. So let me quickly find here. Fromm, who Bloom referred to, in his book Escape from Freedom, the book that Bloom referred to, we are proud that in his conduct of life, Fromm writes, man has become free from external authorities, which tell him what to do and what not to do. All that matters is that the opportunity for genuine activity be restored to the individual. We have to create this environment where the children are, there's no fear of judgment, condemnation, or being cast out. You can share whatever you want to share. That's all Satan did with Eve in the garden. You can think any way you want. All that matters is the opportunity for genuine activity be restored to the individual, that the purpose of society, which is lust, and of his own lust, become identical. To give up God, this is an escape from freedom, to give up God and to establish a concept of man as being, a being who can feel at home in it, in the world, if he achieves union with his fellow man and with nature. Leave God out. In dialogue, you suspend. You have to suspend your standards. You have to suspend Christ on the cross. You cannot participate in this process without putting Jesus on the cross. Impossible. You better not call yourself a Christian if you're using Bloom's taxonomy in the classroom. Personal relationship between men have this character of alienation. Oh, by the way, my website has been called extremist by Google. Christian universities have censored it. And all I do is quote them. I've spoken at liberal universities. Quote Maslow, Rogers, show the word of God. And it's the liberal professors in front of 200, 300 students, not to me in private, but to all of them, saying they cannot refute a word I said. I'm shocked. It happened several times. I'm going, wow. They literally gave their students a heads up. This is where we're taking you. Hegel and Marx, Frohm continues, have laid the foundation for the understanding of the problem of alienation. What's that? Well, you won't relate with somebody else because they're living in sin. Every form of objectification, this is Broner's book, Stephen Eric Broner of Critical Theory and Its Theorists. Every form of objectification, in other words, apparent out there, anybody external to your own sense experience, results in alienation. Because why? You're holding to standards that somebody else isn't, and so therefore we have conflict. Alienation is the experience of estrangement from others. Alienation has long history. It's interesting. All these liberals go to the Bible. They go to the Word of God. Why? I mean, just leave it out. But its most radical sense already appears in the biblical expulsion from Eden. God is thus the anthropological source of alienation. Alienation will continue so long as the subject engages in externalization of his or her subjectivity. In other words, as long as you're going lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes of pride of life, you can be part of the world. But if you do the Father's will, you're the source of alienation. You're the source, as John Dewey said in his works, God is the source of corruption in individuals. You can't do the dialectic process without that being the outcome. Now, Adorno, who Benjamin Bloom referred to as his worldview, here's what he says. Authoritarian submission, and I'll add, humbling, denying, dying to, controlling, disciplining, capitulating oneself in order to do the Father's will, that's authoritarianism, according to the liberals, was conceived of as a very general attitude that would be evoked in relation to a variety of authority figures. And so it's a generalizing, okay? This is in the Holy Family. Marx generalizes. He says, well, the pear and almond and all these different fruit trees, we find what they have in common. And we based everything on what they have in common. Well, I have an orchard. If you treat all the trees the same, you're going to have some trees dying. They're not the same. They're all unique and different. Yes, they all drop their leaves in the fall. You can find those general things. Medical profession, it's a bullseye. Everybody fits in this one thing, and everybody's forced in there. Why would you do that? Because you can market one item and make a fortune. It's all about money. It's all about money. And so this general attitude, who are they? Parents, older people, leaders, supernatural power, and so forth. God is conceived. Wow. See, God isn't out there. He's not the one who created us. But God is conceived. He's created more directly after a parental image and thus as a source of support and as a guiding and sometime punishing authority. So God directs us and then punishes us when we do wrong. Not to destroy us. Now, if we reject his chastening, he actually calls us bastards. You're not mine. Depart from me, you orchid of iniquity. I never knew you. Submission to authority, Adorno writes, desire for a strong leader, subservience of the individual to the state, in other words, parental authority, local control, and nationalism. Now, remember, Bloom builds his taxonomy. You as a Christian teacher, you are built on this. And so forth have so frequently, and as it seems to us, correctly been set forth as an important aspect of the Nazi creed. So he just classified all traditional parents out there as fascists. Let me tell you the truth. Hitler destroyed the father's authority in the home. He lined the fathers up and shot them, just like Lenin did. Socialism, the group, will always sacrifice the father for the group, whether it's national or global. It's the same outcome. So this is fraud. That a search for correlations of prejudice, what's that? Preset standards. Is God prejudiced? Absolutely. On the day of judgment, you're going to meet prejudice because he gives you the next breath you're taking. Every breath you've ever taken and every breath you will take is a gift from him. And you can say, well, I don't believe that. Fine. But on the day you take your last breath, you're meeting God who gave you that next breath. And he's going to judge you on what you do with that next breath. He's prejudiced. Had naturally take this attitude into account. Family relationships are characterized by fearful subservience to the demands of the parents and by an early suppression of impulses not acceptable to them. Hello, God. You can eat all these trees. You can't eat of that one. So Adorno writes, the power relationship between the parents, the domination of the subject's family by the father or by the mother, and their relative dominance in specific areas of life also seemed of importance for our problem. What's the problem? Because they tied the traditional home to fascism. We've got to destroy the traditional home. We've got to turn the children against the parents if we're going to have global harmony, if we're going to have socialist harmony and worldly peace. This is Bloom's taxonomy. You can't get around it. It's there. Adorno then, the individual may have secret thoughts. So you don't tell your parents what you're thinking about when you're doing the dialogue within yourself in regards to their commands, which he will under no circumstance reveal to anyone else if he can help it, to gain access. See, we're going to have open-ended, non-directive classroom. We're not going to be judgmental. We're going to be positive and not negative. That's what that's all about. To gain access is particularly important, for here may lie the individual's potential. So welcome to Bloom's taxonomies. Now the pyramids, and by the way, a lot of this is true. You don't deceive people with 90 proof lie. It can be 90% true. A lot of this is true, but they leave the father out. It's fatherless. It's godless. Oh, you can bring God in. And you say, well, we have God in here because I'm in here. No, eventually God's out. The further down you go, the further you go down this path. In fact, to step on it to begin with, you left God out because you have to suspend whatever command or rule or fact or truth you came into the room with for the sake of a relationship with a group. You cannot be silent is consent. You have to be silent. You have to be tolerant. You take a car to the garage and you say, well, I want you to be tolerant of the facts. You know, whatever you feel like doing, just do it on my car and I'll be happy. I'll pay you the big bucks. $120 an hour, $150. Oh, let's make it $200. Tolerant of ambiguity? You give your children standards and then you tell the teacher you can have them in an environment where it's a tolerant of ambiguity? Are you really that stupid? That's stupid. You're to train your children up in the admonition of the Lord. And I had. Teach them how to pull weeds. Not oppress them. If they're around somebody else who's saying, oh, you're being abused, they're going to come home feeling oppressed. God is a God of love. He loves everyone, but he hates sin, and he judges us according to our heart. Where are we in this box? We find ourselves, if people are running from the Word of God and running to everybody's opinion, they're not humbling themselves before God because you love the Word of God. You wait every day. You're seeking what the Father would tell you for today. That's walking in the Spirit, not in the flesh. I know this is all a downer. This is like, wow, we're in trouble. Well, God told us. It's not going to get better. But for the elect's sake, he has to shorten the days. And why am I sharing it? To encourage. I spoke, like I said, at 5,000 meetings. Most of them were 2.5 to 4 hours. And what got me was, it got near the end. I could hardly even take it, because I'd share Bloom and all these quotes from Maslow and Rogers and all these guys, and everybody's sitting at the end of the chairs going, wow, yeah, wow, yeah. Honestly, I dreaded sharing the Word of God, because the moment I shared the Word of God, my audience went to sleep. Oh, we've heard that before. It got to where my voice was rising, and maybe even doing it now, because I just wanted to shake them. Wait, no, this verse is not just another verse. Genesis 3, 1 through 6 is the process. You can't do it without it. That's the process. God has warned us. Oh, hum, I heard that in Sunday school. And it was after the meeting. There was one meeting, every cell in my body wanted to leave halfway through. It was so abusive from the Christians. And then there were four couples that came out and they said, thank you. That's all they said was thank you. And the tone of their voice told me they were believers. They were encouraged. Don't give up. Endure to the end. The Bible's about suffering, dying to yourself. But you're filled with the joy of the Lord. You have the peace that passes understanding, joy that's unspeakable, because it didn't come from you or anything in the creation. It came from the guy who created you, who loves you, who sent his son to die on the cross for you. That's God's mercy. His mercy endureth forever. He's just waiting for us to give up early. Just a closing thought. Why would you put your child in Satan's harm, in Satan's pathway? You're to train your children up in the admonition of the Lord. And homeschooling was not the answer. Homeschooling is important. You are to train your children up. But if they don't know the Lord, it doesn't matter. They're just as lost as a child out there with green hair and earrings and tattoo and thinking he's a girl. Just as lost. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. And in all your ways, acknowledge Him. And let the Lord be the one who directs your paths.